Hi, and welcome to the 57th episode of the Language Mannerings podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today I'm going to talk a little bit about Victory Day in Europe, Russia, and the United States. This is based on some conversations I've had with students over the past couple of days, especially since in Russia and in the former Soviet Union countries, there have been holidays to mark the Victory Day, the end of World War II. And when I was living in Paris, I know that May 8th was a holiday and that there were many events that took place on that date to remember the World War II history. I just wanted to kind of mention a few places that I've been to over the last 20 years or so. I think the first was when I was 15. I went to Hawaii and we visited the Pearl Harbor, the Arizona, the USS Arizona shipwreck, and it was a very moving experience to see that. And I think I remember I was very impressed to see that there was still oil on the surface of the water, still after about, well, at that time it was like 50 years after World War II. Later, when I was living in Europe, in maybe about 2003 or 4, I made a trip to Normandy, and we visited Bayeux. And we rented bicycles and we went down to the D-Day beaches and visited Omaha Beach and the American Cemetery there. And I mean, you can see footage of the cemetery in the ending scenes of Saving Private Ryan. And also in 2003, when I visited Germany, I went to Weimar, and unfortunately at that time I was running out of cash, so I couldn't afford to pay a couple euros to get on the bus to go to Buchenwald. So I remember I asked somebody at the train station, like, is it far to walk? And they just looked at me as if I were crazy. So yeah, in kind of cold February, I walked from the Weimar train station to Buchenwald the first day that I arrived in Weimar, and then I arrived just in time that the campus closed, and so I ended up getting on a bus without paying to go back to Weimar. And then the next day, I think I was able to withdraw some money. But yeah, it was a long walk to get there. And then the next day I did go back and visit the camp there. And again, that was kind of a surreal experience to visit there. Later, when I was making plans to leave Europe, on my last trip to Central Europe, I visited Poland, and we went to Krakow, and we made a trip to the Auschwitz Birkenau concentration camps. And so yeah, I saw Auschwitz, and definitely that had a big impression on me. And to actually see the sign of the Arbeit macht frei at the entrance. One thing I remember that I was very dismayed and shocked by visiting there was there's just so many people just taking selfies of the in front of different buildings at Auschwitz, and it just felt very disturbing to wonder if those people realized what had happened there. Did they know the history because it felt like some of these people were visiting as if it were Disneyland. There didn't seem to be much respect for the history. In addition to those visits, I've also been to several museums. There's a museum for the Shoah in Paris that I've seen. In Los Angeles, I've seen the Museum of Tolerance. In Washington, D.C., I visited the Holocaust Museum there, and again, I remember being a bit shocked. There was a propaganda exhibit when I visited. I believe this was maybe 6 years ago. And I remember there was this tourist who there was a bust of Hitler, and this man had his young son, I don't know, about age 10, standing in front of the bust, the statue, to take a picture. And I think I was just completely shocked. And I think I actually said something. I forget what exactly I'd said, but it was, I think I asked the person, I was like, do you realize, why would you be taking a picture of your son with Hitler? That just completely confounded me. And again, I think there are people who are out of touch with the history, and to realize what happened in the world 70 years ago, there are still people alive who are survivors, who remember their experiences at that time. My wife's grandparents from France have told me about when they were small children and seeing American soldiers passing through the region of Tours, and they've mentioned a few things about the difficulties during the war and the food rationing. And in my family, I know that my grandmother's brother was a soldier, and he was involved in going to France, not on D-Day, but he was there after, and one of his jobs was as an artist. He was drawing maps for the soldiers so they could navigate their way through Normandy and through France to get to Paris. And then he was stationed in Paris in August after the city had been liberated. And so he had told me on one occasion about when he was living in Paris at the time. And when I was living in Paris, I remember visiting and seeing different buildings around the city. For example, like at the École Militaire, that had bullet holes still on the side of the building, and there might be some plaques on the side of the walls that said like "Ici est tombé," to say that some soldier had died at some location. And those things had and left an impression on me when I would see those places. And I remember because I had visited so many places in Europe, and they would often mention, especially if there were these churches or museums, they would often mention about where, let's say for a church, the stained glass windows would be stored someplace safe during World War II so that they would not be damaged. And I remember there was this one time after my first year living in Europe, I visited Chicago, and I remember going to the Frank Lloyd Wright Museum and looking at some kind of stained glass panels that were in the house, and I was almost about to ask the tour guide, how did they preserve the stained glass windows during World War II? What did they do to protect those windows? And I stopped myself because I had to realize Chicago was never bombed by the Germans. There were no air raids. And again, one of the earliest places I also remember seeing that kind of thing was in one trip to London, 2002, when I went to London for the first time, and I was walking around the the banks of the Thames, and I stumbled upon the Cleopatra's Needle, the obelisk. I remember seeing a chunk of this the platform that holds the obelisk, and I remember seeing this chunk that was missing, and there was a plaque or an explanation that was saying that it had been damaged during an air raid during World War II, and suddenly I just kind of looked up at the sky and was trying to imagine what was it like, what could it have been like to be in London, in these different cities of England that were bombed, and just a horrible experience. And before arriving in London, we visited Coventry, and I remember seeing the church, and that experienced heavy damage, went from another air raid, and the roof was completely destroyed. So the church in Coventry is just the walls that are remaining, as a memorial to that destruction. So I've seen a lot of places, and also when I was visiting Normandy in France, we visited Havre, Le Havre, and you can definitely see a lot of buildings that were reconstructed in the 1950s, just all kind of that concrete style of the 1950s. So there were a lot of cities that were heavily hit and damaged by World War II, and so it's something that I don't exactly take lightly, and it's something that I won't forget. And I know that the Victory Day in Europe and in Russia and other parts of the former Soviet Union, they still take place, and I'm not sure if people, I mean, it's a holiday, they don't necessarily go to work, so it's now just a day to stay at home and relax. But I'm not sure if there are many people still who take time to reflect on history from 70 years ago. And based on some conversations I was having with some students, I was wondering, like, why isn't there a Victory Day in the United States, since the US did take part in World War II? And I did do some research, and I saw that there was an article in Wikipedia, and that it did say that from 1948 to about 1975, there was a Victory Day, or Victory Day over Japan Day, that was established by Harry Truman. And by the mid-1970s, there was a decision to kind of phase out the Victory Day, since it was a specific reference to the atomic bombs being dropped in Japan. And by the mid-70s, economic relations had definitely improved with Japan. So I think that was one of the reasons why that celebration started to fade out. Although it turns out there is still actually one state, Rhode Island, that still celebrates a Victory Day in, I think, the month of August, as there were many servicemen from the Rhode Island who passed away in many battles in the Pacific. So that's, I think, why they continue to honor those soldiers with the Victory Day. So actually there was a Victory Day in the States, but since I had never heard of it being celebrated, that's probably why I didn't realize that there was one. So the Victory Day celebrations or memorial ceremonies are over now, but it's still an opportunity to reflect on the history. This past weekend, there was the polyglot gathering in Berlin during these past couple of days, and so it's nice to see that this time that we are able to move on and come together as language learners and language ambassadors from around the world to come together in peace and to celebrate each other's languages and each other's cultures, and to have bring some hope to our common future. It's important to reflect history, especially recent history of 70 years or so ago, and to not forget, because that's usually the reason why incidents and atrocities continue to happen, is because we forget and we move on. So I just hope that if you aren't familiar with European history, especially World War II history, take a moment to learn a few things. It isn't our happiest hour, but it's still important to learn about what has happened. And if you have an opportunity to speak to somebody who survived or who lived through that time period, take an opportunity to talk with them, and because those living memories are not going to be around forever, it's important that we preserve those legacies so that future generations know what happened, so that we don't forget and don't repeat what has happened. If you are interested in taking an English lesson with me or hearing more about my language Mandarins, you can visit my website at hugginsinternational.com. That's HUGGINS international.com, or you can send me an email at hugginsinternational@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, and I look forward to the next one. Take care.